This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Frame. Mother's Day is almost here. What are you getting her? Something that shows you care. Something that makes her feel loved. Something that won't stress you out. Something like the Skylight Frame. The Skylight Frame is the perfect gift. It's a touchscreen photo frame your whole family can upload photos to, from wherever they are in the world. It's a way to share with her all the moments that matter. It sets up in seconds. You can even make sure that it's already loaded with photos when your mom opens her Mother's Day gift. And her Skylight Frame can hold thousands of the treasured photos you share. It's an easy, heartfelt way for mom to stay connected with those who matter most. It really is the perfect gift. Now, as a special Mother's Day offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight Frame when you go to skylightframe.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTFRAME.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightframe.com/easy.
The Single Mom Success Podcast, episode 26. They came out with loaded curly fries from Arby's. Loaded curly fries. Heather Wells and the Single Mom Blog present Single Mom Success, the place for single moms to find support, inspiration, and the path to their own success. Hey everybody, and welcome to the Single Mom Success Podcast. This is the first podcast for 2016. I took a break for a little while, a couple of weeks, to enjoy the holidays and spend time with my family and just kind of have some nice downtime. So I'm officially kicking off, you know, 2016's podcasts now. But I hope you all had a wonderful holiday and new year and just have really enjoyed your holiday season, whatever you celebrate or if you do celebrate or whatever the case may be. I hope it was a wonderful, nice, relaxed, easygoing time for you. It was actually pretty nice for me, especially having three kids. Usually it's a little chaotic. I think it's finally gotten to the point where age-wise, everything sort of mellowed out. You know, my boys are teenagers. They're 15. They're going to be 16 this year. Oh my God, they're going to be 16 this year. Oh, I'm sorry. That just kind of hit me. Oh, so scary and crazy. Wow. Anyway, so sorry. So So they finally reached the age where, you know, they're cool getting money. They're cool getting gift cards. You know, they don't care that there's not a lot of presents under the tree. They understand that the stuff that they've asked for is more expensive than the stuff that my daughter gets. So they were good, you know, and it was nice and it was mellow. And my daughter got a ton of stuff. You know, she got some great crafts and some cute clothes. And so it was really, really nice and just easy and laid back. Things were really good and mellow with my ex, which is always nice. So that was like my Christmas present. I didn't have to worry and deal with any drama. So it was good all around. It was very nice. So I hope you guys had an equally wonderful holiday. Now that does bring us to the new year though. So this podcast is actually, you know, this is the time of year when you see all this stuff, you know, the new year, new me thing. And it's like, woohoo, everybody's, you know, got all these resolutions. And this is the time of year where you make all those promises to yourself that you're probably not going to keep, you know, it's sort of like, you know, politician. Like, this is my campaign promise for my 2016, and I'm going to make all these promises, and they're made with well intent and really good intention. But then about 2 months in, you're just like, meh. So this year I decided, you know, I'm not going to do the whole resolution. And, you know, I'm kind of against the whole new year, new me philosophy, because it's really not a new you. I mean, you are still you. And I think that's probably one of the biggest reasons that a lot of times resolutions tend to fail. Because, you know, just because a date, you know, the calendar flips over to a new year, you're still the person you were, you know, at 11:59 as you are now. So I look at it and I think to myself, and I think about all the times that I made myself promises and things of that nature, and I made resolutions of all the stuff that I was going to do, and none of it actually happened. You know, I made resolutions about quitting smoking, and again, they're all made with really good intentions. You know, back when I was still smoking, I would make resolutions about quitting And I was like, you know, after this pack, you know, this pack, this is my New Year's resolution. I'm going to quit smoking. And this pack that I have right now is the last, well, maybe not this pack, the pack that I have in my purse, because I've got another pack. So after those packs of cigarettes are gone, I'm not going to buy any more cigarettes. And that lasted until probably about 2 or 3 hours after that last pack was gone and I had smoked that last cigarette. And I was desperately searching in my ashtray for the, you know, little bit of, you know, the cigarette that I put out where there was still a half a cigarette left. You know, I was digging through my ashtray. And it sounds pathetic, but anybody who smokes, you know that you've done this. You've totally done this. You don't have cigarettes. You run out of cigarettes or you promise you're going to quit. I swear I have literally gone into a trash can looking for a cigarette that I had thrown away. Like when I was like, no, I'm quitting. And I threw away my pack of cigarettes when there were still cigarettes in it. And about 2 hours later, when I was stressed out and I really, really wanted a cigarette, I'm like, I can't believe that. I'm absolutely fucking insane. Why would I do that? There's cigarettes. Like they're in the trash right now. I have to go get them. It's ridiculous how like all consuming that addiction is. Any addiction is all consuming. But cigarettes are, they're hard, right? Like it's hard to quit. So, you know, those promises or those little, you know, resolutions that I would make to myself, they would never work. You know, I'm like, I vow I'm going to go to the gym every day, and I had a membership, and I got a trainer, and it worked out great for probably about the first, like, 2 months. And then my back started hurting, and I stopped going. And then I started making excuses why I couldn't go. Why I didn't want to go, oh, I can't do it, or I would put it off. And then I just fell out of the habit to the point where I paid for that membership for a good year and a half and hadn't gone in a year. Like, it was ridiculous, right? People do that constantly. They sign up for a membership, a gym membership, and then they never go, right? And that's why I get so, I'm so against the whole, you know, new year, new me. Because in all honesty, it's not a new you. And so my intent for this year is to work on my mindsets and my thought processes and my goal setting. Because here's the thing, resolutions, they're technically promises to yourself that you're going to stop doing something, or you are going to start doing something, or, you know, I'm going to stop smoking, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to start exercising, whatever that case may be. And you make those promises to yourself, but if you don't do any of the work on yourself that like contributed to those bad habits, then you're gonna fail. You're gonna fail because you are still the same you. Just because you say new year, new me doesn't mean that that's true. You quite literally do have to have sort of a mind shift and start working on those bad habits and those things that have kept you stuck in whatever bad habit or, you know, that you have, whatever it is that you're trying to change. And so for me, my goals for 2016, and it's not even a resolution, and I don't want to call them resolutions, they're goals, because they are. There's actual measurable results that I'm trying to reach, and so therefore they are goals for me. And because they are goals, I can break them down into smaller goals. And I think that's another thing with resolutions is you just think to yourself, oh, I have to make this huge, broad promise to myself, and I've got to meet it just like that. And because of that, again, you're setting yourself up for failure. Because, you know, sitting here saying, okay, my goal is that I'm going to lose 40 pounds. Here we go. 40 pounds, right? I'm going to lose 40 pounds. That's my goal, okay? But if I just say, okay, my resolution, I'm going to lose 40, I'm going to lose weight. That's my New Year's resolution. I don't have a set number in mind. I don't have a plan of how I'm going to do it. And I'm not acknowledging all of the bad habits that have led me to where I'm at. So having a goal, it gives me sort of something actually tangible to sort of break down into pieces. And so that definitely helps me out, right? You know, and I'm not quite certain how I would do that if I was still smoking. Maybe more of a, okay, I'm going to make a goal that I will only smoke, you know, 4 cigarettes a day. Or, you know, I will only smoke, you know, 10 cigarettes a day, and then the next for a month, and then the next month I only smoke 8 cigarettes a day, and then the next month I only smoke 6 cigarettes a day. Like, you see what I'm saying? So it gives you that kind of goal, you know, because I quit smoking hot, cold turkey, but not everybody can do that, and it was hard. It was very, very difficult the first few weeks, Because that was really my stress relief. That was the only thing. Like, I don't drink very much. I don't, like, I don't do anything really that helps with my stress level, being a single mom raising three children. And so it was just easy for me to go, okay, you guys are freaking me out. You're stressing me out. I'm angry or whatever's going on. I'm stepping outside. Mommy's going on a timeout and I'm gonna smoke a cigarette, right? So it gave me that break, and just my brain associated having a cigarette with chilling the hell out and calming down. And, you know, so it was just sort of a reprogramming. Now, I quit smoking cold turkey by, we actually went on a road trip to Lake Tahoe, and I don't smoke in the car with my kids. So that was the easiest way for me to do it, because I figure, okay, I'm not going to buy any cigarettes. I don't have any cigarettes prior to leaving. We're leaving and we're going on this road trip and I have no cigarettes with me. And because I was used to not smoking in the car, it was easier for me on these extended long bouts of driving, like 3 hours, 4 hours, you know, in between pit stops and getting gas and things like that. It was easier for me to not think about it because I was so used to just not smoking in the car. So it wasn't something that I craved because of the fact that I was, you know, driving and the kids were in the car with me. So by the time we got to California, and checked in at Lake Tahoe, I was sort of craving a cigarette then. It was 2 days we drove. It was just me and the kids. They did very well, but at the end I wanted a cigarette, and I started to break down, and I was like, oh, forget it. I'm just going to go buy a pack of cigarettes, right? And I went in, and the cigarettes were like $6 a pack. I was like, yeah, never mind. I wasn't willing to do that, So for me, it was easy to do the cold turkey thing because of that. But, you know, for a lot of people, they can't do that. You know, or maybe your goal is, okay, I'm going to quit smoking, so I'm going to make an appointment with my doctor to see about the Chantix thing or whatever it is for quitting smoking. Or I'm going to go to the quit line and get the patches, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And just setting that sort of plan. But again, at the same time, you also have to address and understand and, again, sort of dig into the reasons why it's such a bad habit for you, why you're doing it so constantly, or why you're not doing a certain behavior. So for me, like I said, I used it as a stress reliever. So for me, I needed to figure out other ways to calm myself, right? So I had to replace it. And that's the thing. You can't just quit a habit. Like, half the time, just getting rid of a habit is really hard. Oftentimes, you have to replace it with something else, right? And that's where things like quitting smoking, a lot of times people chew gum, or they use the patch, or they take up, you know, exercising, or whatever the case is, you know. And so I had to replace it with different things. And so it was more of a, okay, when I get really stressed out, what are, you know, because I don't want to reach for a cigarette. So what can I do instead? What can I replace that bad habit with? So for me, though, you know, my goals that I'm trying to break down and measure, the first one for this year is the losing of weight, you know, and it's something that I've been struggling with for a while. And the reason that it's really important now is it's not just because I feel like I'm fat or I don't like the way I look. You know, I'm not really happy with how my clothes fit, obviously, and I would love to get back down to a smaller size. But, you know, in all honesty, I'm actually really happy with myself. I'm not, you know, I don't look at myself and go, oh, I'm so ugly, or I'm so fat, or I'm miserable, or, you know, it doesn't make me unhappy, the fact that I am overweight. But it is not healthy for me. It's causing problems for my knees. And I've discussed this, I've mentioned it before and talked about it before. It is causing problems for my knees, which are already bad in the first place. So losing weight will help with that. But also, I've reached the point in my life where apparently now I'm having to worry about my blood pressure. And my blood pressure is a little high right now. I used to just be hypertensive or pre-hypertensive. And now my blood pressure is actually high, which is bad. So I need to really start paying attention to what I eat more. And that will help with the weight loss too. But so it's sort of a, not even necessarily just a lose weight thing, but more of a get healthier thing, which is a extremely difficult challenge for me. And this is why I'm wanting to break it down into, you know, smaller goals various different, kind of checkpoints for myself because I really like food. I like food, and I like food that tastes good. And unfortunately, all of the food that I really love that tastes really good is really, really, really bad for me. Like, really bad for me. So I'm having to work on that mindset of, instead of getting good times with my kids, you know, when we're in a hurry coming home from parkour, because, you know, we don't get home until 8, and so therefore I don't really have time to cook dinner. So we pick up something fast on the way, just throw something in the crock pot. But usually all of that is not necessarily the healthiest because I want my kids to eat it and they're not huge, you know, health and veggie junkies. Not yet anyway. I'm trying to get them into that. Just making that shift of, okay, they get something from Good Times or McDonald's really quick on the way home. But when I get home, I'm going to have a salad. But then also on top of that, when I have the salad, I have to remember I can't just drown it in dressing, which is what I like to do because I'm not a huge vegetable fan either. I drown my veggies in dressing, you know? So even though the salad part is good for me, the dressing part is not, right? So I'm having to really try and make these mental shifts, and it's difficult because, you know, I'm the lady, I want to sit there and watch the football game and eat 7-layer dip and drink a soda. Like, that's what I want to do because I enjoy that and it's my routine and I really like 7-layer dip. So trying to find ways to switch out that with a healthier option is going to be part of my progress. And so those are my goals. Like, those are the things that I'm breaking down into measurable goals. So my goal is to lose 40 pounds by hopefully the summer, but that's a lot. That's, you know, it's a lot of weight loss in a short period of time. So it may not be 40 pounds, but even if I lose some weight by the summer, that's an acceptable measure to me. But I would like to lose, you know, I need to lose at least 30 to be back at a healthy weight for me. Okay. So for me, and that was the other thing, that's the downside of quitting smoking was that I gained weight. I quit smoking and instantaneously I started snacking more. On top of that, I was not smoking. I wasn't waitressing anymore. So I was sedentary. I sit behind a desk all day long. I'm not as active as I used to be. And obviously I'm not as young as I used to be. I've gotten older, I quit smoking, I have a sedentary job, so I gained a ton of weight and I gained it quick. I wish I could lose it as quickly as I gained it. And I think that that's just the really unfair part of life. It's super easy to gain weight fast. It is a pain in the ass to get it off. Like, I think in a fair world, there should be, if you can gain the weight quickly, you can lose the weight quickly. If it's easy to gain the weight, it should be easy to lose the weight. That's just how I see it. It just seems like symmetrical in that fact, but it's not. And a lot of that is because of the bad habits. So again, you can't just sit here and say new year, new me, because it's not a new you. You have to make, just because you've decided, oh, this year, my resolution, I'm going to lose 20 pounds. That's my resolution. Yada-da. There's nothing behind that. You're not putting in anything to work on, you know, meeting those goals and how you're actually going to achieve those goals and how am I going to replace all of my bad habits with good habits and things like that. So for me, my goal is to lose the weight. Now, up until this point, though, and it's what, the 12th, I still haven't gotten my butt on my treadmill like I'm supposed to. So I recognize that I'm not doing myself any favors. And so my mission, and that's what kind of brought on this podcast, because I stopped and I thought about it and I was like, you know, I made this goal for myself and I thought to myself, my intent is to lose the weight. And here it is, like the second week in January, and I actually have not done anything to actually put myself down this path. I haven't set up any measuring, you know, metrics to measure my success. I haven't set up any plans or goals or meal ideas or, you know, anything like that to really put this in place for myself. So at the time that I'm recording this, this is actually the beginning of that goal setting journey. And so I actually have, I am going to start tracking how often I exercise. So I do go and I train with a trainer while my kids do parkour. So while they're doing parkour, I'm with my trainer. The problem is that there are times where we're not very regular with that. Some weeks we'll only go once, some weeks we'll go four times. So it just kind of depends. So I need to make sure that I'm offsetting that. If we don't go to parkour, then I need to train, or I need to train that morning. And if we go to parkour, then that's just a bonus session for me. But if we don't, then at least I know I've worked out in the morning or at some point during the day. So these are all kind of the metrics that I need to start putting in place, because the weight's not just going to come off because I want it to, right? And I have to acknowledge that. At the same time, though, I also have to be more, you know, I want to be true to myself, because I know that if I put these things in place just in the intent of losing the weight, very easily I will go back to my bad habits once I've lost the weight. Like, I'm that person who I like look at it and go, wow, I worked out this morning and I did really, really good. I'm going to have a cheeseburger. That's my reward. And it really doesn't work that way. Like, it's not. So I'm looking up some meal ideas and diet ideas. The problem is that diet just seems so restrictive to me, and I think that's my other problem. I don't like being told what I can and can't do. I never have. So having a diet dictate whether I'm enjoying my meal kind of sucks, right? Like a diet that says, okay, for this meal, you can have 12 almonds and a hard-boiled egg. And I'm sitting here looking at it and I'm like, screw you, I'm having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Or I'm going to go get loaded curly fries. They came out with loaded curly fries from Arby's. Loaded curly fries. And it is evil. I haven't even tried them. I'm like, I don't want to, because I know that if I try them and I love them as much as I think I'm going to love them, I will never be able to fit into a pair of my old pants again, ever. And I will do so happily and slobbily and be forever like in the heaven and euphoria of loaded curly fries. It's evil, the things that they come out with, because every time I go, I'm like, I saw a commercial for it. I was watching a football game and there was a commercial for loaded curly fries. I was like, it's not cool. And that's my problem. I sit there and I'm like, I'm looking at my diet and the things that this, like, whatever diet plan I'm looking at wants me to eat. And I'm like, none of that sounds as good as loaded curly fries. None of it sounds as good as loaded curly fries. And I really want loaded curly fries. So that's the plan, is to try and come up with something where I'm able to eat, you know, smaller, and it's not even smaller portions, because I typically don't gorge myself. It's just that the things that I eat are not good for me. They're not good for me. And they're literally just going straight into my ass and my thighs, because I sit on my ass and my thighs all day. So that's kind of where it settles. I think that's just like gravity. It's like, okay, we're sitting here because that's the only place we can go. So I'm trying to find something that will sort of incorporate, and I saw something on, I think, what was it, Kelly and Michael, or some talk show, I have to find it, and when I do, I'll put the link in the blog, of the various different diets, like the best diets so far of 2016, and one of them was, or maybe it was like the thing with the guy from T25, I can't remember, but either way, it was sort of like a, this is your plan of eating, like, it's like an 85-15 plan. You eat 85% healthy, but you have those 15 where you can eat stuff that you like, so you don't feel like you're totally depriving yourself of the things that you do enjoy. But then 85% of the time, you eat healthier. So I guess it's sort of like equivalent to maybe having a cheat day, right? Like, I eat and I do really good all week long, and then Sunday is my day where I can just eat whatever the hell I want, and that's what makes me happy. So I've got to come up with that, and my thing is that I have to stick with it, and that's where the whole, you know, oh, new year, new you thing, it does you know, even though I say I don't believe in it, because really it's not a new you, it does have to be, but you can't just say it. You can't just say, oh, it's a new year, a new me. You actually have to put in the work and the mental steps and the, you know, accountability for yourself to say, okay, this is my goal and this is what I'm doing to meet that goal. You can't just blatantly say, oh, I'm going to lose 20 pounds and then have no idea how you're going to go about it, right? Because that's almost, you're doomed to fail. And I think that that's where I really need to focus, is setting that plan in place and putting those things together so that I have measurable things that I can track so that I know. And then the other thing is just kicking myself in the ass and getting up and doing it. Because in all honesty, like I said, here we are the second week of January, and I've just sort of been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And it's not okay, right? I have to hold myself accountable. So one of the other things that I'm looking at potentially doing is having an accountability partner, somebody who will check in with me and be like, hey, you know, where are you at? What'd you eat today? Like, have you done this? And there's some phone apps and things like that that you can do to track what you've eaten, your calorie intake, you know, meal plans, things like that. So I'm looking into a bunch of different things, and I'm going to put in the blog, if you're not listening to this on the blog, go to thesinglemomblog.com, and I'll put in this blog post kind of what goals I've set out, like what things that I've used or what I plan on using. And then next month I'll do an update as to where I am. So that's the one goal. And then the other goal is for my business. This year in my business, I really want to reach certain levels of success. I want to expand my business out, bring other people into my business, hopefully other single moms who are like me, who would like to be able to work from home and earn an income, to the point where I can actually just sort of focus on building my business as opposed to being in it every day, because that's what I build for other people. So it'd be really nice if I could build it for myself. So I really want to start developing that and really bringing that in and making that more and more of a, you know, a reality for me. So that's my other goal for this year. And those are two big ones. And so I think that that's, realistically, that's where I'm going to leave it off. Of course, there's other little goals that I want to do, being more organized around the house. And those are things that I'm working on kind of piece by piece as I go about my day and my week and my year. You know, things will get better and better and more organized. The IKEA store and the container store have been my new best friends lately. I've been going there a lot, especially taking advantage of a lot of the end of year sales and the clearance sales. So I've gotten a lot of things that are like really helping keep my house decluttered. And that'll be another blog post that I plan on doing here in the future, kind of showing the things that we're doing to help organize our home and get rid of some of the clutter that we have and just sort of the overabundance of just crap we have laying around. Because it's ridiculous how much stuff we've accumulated. So that's going to be another blog post in the future. But so keep an eye out for that. So those are my goals. I hope that you've enjoyed this podcast. I know that it's something that's very important to me and very critical, I think, in my success. And everything that I've done that has been successful, it's been successful because I've given myself measurable metrics and goals and checkpoints. Like, taking a very large goal, like, for example, being able to go on a Disney cruise with my kids a couple years ago. That was my very large goal. Right? That was one of my missions that I wanted to accomplish. And I broke it down into several manageable goals because, you know, looking at something like losing 40 pounds, it seems like an immeasurable task. I mean, it really does. It doesn't seem like it should be, but it is. When you know how hard it is to lose weight, it's a very difficult task. And so breaking it down into saying, okay, yes, I need to lose a total of this many pounds, but maybe, I break it down into, okay, I need to lose 5 pounds in this month, right? Or 8 pounds in this month. And the other thing that I'm also looking at doing is because, you know, if I'm going to be working out and I'm going to be training, sometimes I'm going to be losing inches, but not necessarily weight. So I'm also going to be tracking my measurements to see progress there. Because sometimes, you know, you look at the scale and you're like, God, I've only lost like 2 pounds. But you've actually lost inches, right? Maybe you've lost inches, but not weight. because muscle weighs more than fat. So maybe you've gotten rid of some of the fat and you've shrunk down in inches, but you don't seem like you've lost a lot of weight. So that's the other thing I'm going to be tracking. So those are all going to be things that I keep an eye on and I track and I measure and give myself some accountability for, so that my 2016 can be successful for me, because it's something that it is really important to me. And again, like I said, not because I need to, you know, feel like I don't feel unhappy with myself, but it is getting to the point where it is not healthy. And I need to take a look at that and really pay attention so that I don't have long-term issues down the road. And I think that's another thing that's going to really help motivate me, is because it's just me taking care of the boys. I mean, Brooklyn has her dad, but the boys, it's just them. And so if anything happens to me, you know, what happens to the boys? Obviously, you know, my family would help, but, you know, I'm their only real parent, you know. And Brooklyn, you know, while she's got her father, Lord knows I don't want to just leave her in the hands of her father to be raised. So, anyway, it is very important for me to be healthier. And I think that that's going to be a strong motivator for me as well, because it was one of the biggest motivators for me to quit smoking, was my son coming to me in tears saying that he was worried I was going to die because I was smoking. And it really hit home for me that I needed to be around as long as possible for my babies. And I want to see them grow up, and I want to see them have their own families, and, you know, and then also knowing that Gage, you know, he has to potentially be with me, you know, my special needs child. You know, it's very likely or possible that he'll have to live with me for the rest of his life, depending on how things go for him. So what happens then? So I need to be around for as long as I can, and I need to be as healthy as I can for them. And so that's really got to be a big motivator for me. So I hope that you enjoyed this podcast. I hope that it was something that you got a lot out of, maybe some motivation to set some goals for yourself, not resolutions, but goals. Like, what are your measurable goals? What can you meet? So please, if you're listening on the blog, please in the comments, tell me what your goals are for 2016. What are things that you would like to accomplish in this coming year? And how are you going to break them down? How are you going to make measurable, trackable results for yourself, where you can actually keep, you know, these promises and these goals that you set for yourself within reach and reasonable? Because, you know, like I said, losing 40 pounds, it's a big goal. But if you break it down into smaller ones, it's more manageable, right? It doesn't seem so impossible. And I think that that's a huge thing for a lot of people, because when you look at something and you look at a task or look at a goal and it seems so big that it seems impossible, it's easier to quit. It's easier to say, I'll never do it, so I'm just going to give up. And we don't want that. You know, we want this year to be a good, positive, forward progress year, you know? So please let me know what your goals are. If you're not listening on our blog, please go to thesinglemomblog.com and leave a comment in the, you know, new year 2016 post. Okay. I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful day. The rest of your week, month, year are fantastic. Please come back again. I will be podcasting all throughout the year and on a pretty regular basis. And if you haven't gone to thesinglemomblog.com, please do so. And we love having new people come in, take a look at the articles. There's a lot of other podcasts. And I hope to talk to you guys again soon. Take care and have a great day. You've been listening to The Single Mom Podcast, the place to go for support, encouragement, and maybe a few laughs along the way. Please also make sure you head on over to The Single Mom Blog for more great stuff for single moms. We have resources, free things to print out, great articles. Can't wait to see you there. Be sure to leave feedback and comments, because we love hearing from other single moms. And if you like this podcast, please be sure to subscribe.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.